Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at KingdomStrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort. Then pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando's stroller rentals. And an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. Today on the Dad Show, I'm going to be talking with Barry Summer about a Disney Cruise Line repositioning cruise on the Disney Magic from Puerto Rico to Port Canaveral, Florida. Welcome back to the show, Barry.
Well, thanks, Aaron. It's great to be back.
So this was a little different kind of cruise that your family took, repositioning from Puerto Rico, where it was doing those Southern Caribbean cruises, to Port Canaveral. How many days is that?
It was a three-night cruise.
Okay. So it's a three-night cruise when you're repositioning. And how did you handle I should back up and start at the beginning. When did you decide that this was the cruise for you? I mean, it's a bit of an unusual itinerary. So how was it you chose this one?
We have been on the Dream twice. We've done a four-night and a three-night. And then obviously when you book online or on the cruise and get 10% off plus a stateroom credit, in the past, there had been no end date to that. You could use it whenever you wanted, as long as you kind of kept pushing it out to future dummy cruises.
Right.
A few years ago, Disney Cruise Line changed their policy, and I think you now get either 18 or 24 months to use those.
Well, they went back and forth. First, they said 24 months. Then they said 18, and when then this last group of cruises was released, they said, well, we'll give you 24 after all.
Okay.
So currently it's 24 months.
Yes, okay. And I think that's what we had. We had a dummy one booked, and then we get this notification from Disney Cruise Line saying, hey, you have to use this by a certain date. So we started looking around at different cruises, and like I said, we've been on the Dream twice, so we kind of want to try something else. And with the Magic coming off its recent refurb, my kids were really looking forward to trying the new one, especially my son, because they, as part of the Oceaneers Club, they set up the Avengers Academy, all themed to, the Avengers superheroes. So he was really excited by that. So we're looking around at the Magic Cruises, and the Southern Caribbean was a little out of our price range, but we found this three-night repositioning cruise, which I think partially because it's a repositioning cruise, it's a little cheaper to begin with. So we decided to jump on that, and we decided not to tell the kids about it.
Okay. So we have two things going on here. One is that you've got this repositioning cruise, and they do tend to be a little bit less expensive on the repositioning because, they recognize that for most
people. Yeah, you got to pay transportation to get to or from wherever it's stopping.
Exactly. The travel is tricky because since it's repositioning, you're not going to go back to the same place.
Yep.
And because it's a repositioning cruise, it's not considered a closed loop. So did you have passports for everyone?
We did, yes.
Okay.
We had them from our last cruise on the Dream, so luckily we didn't have to deal with any issues with that.
Good, good. And so how did you handle the travel to Puerto Rico?
We just were able to get a Southwest flight out of Milwaukee, one stop in Atlanta, and then in total it was like 5 or 6 hours in the air, but it wasn't too bad. The kids knew we were going on vacation to Puerto Rico. What they didn't know was we're only going to stay there for a day and a half before getting on the cruise to go to Florida.
Okay. And what were there some particular things you wanted to do in that day you had in Puerto Rico?
Yeah, pretty much as much as possible. The highlights we had planned were a trip to the rainforest. We wanted to check out some of the beaches. My wife had found it's not like a real touristy beach, in like the heart of San Juan. It's out a ways, but it was a really beautiful beach. And then we wanted to try to get around Old San Juan a little bit as much as we could.
All right. And how did that part of the vacation go? What were the highlights of Puerto Rico for you all?
Well, the first time we got there was just kind of a hotel day. We found the Embassy Suites had a good deal, so they had a nice pool and stuff, and restaurants were on site, so we didn't have to worry about trying to find something to eat. We took a walk down to the beach, only about a block and a half away, walked around the beach for a little while. The next day, we rented a car. There was a car rental place that's about a block and a half away, which made it really convenient, so we didn't have to keep one the whole time and, you know, pay the extra parking fee there, because just about every hotel is charging an arm and a leg for parking.
Sure, sure.
So we drove out to the El Yunque Rainforest, which is the only rainforest in the U.S. National Park System, or it's a Department of the Interior Agriculture. So we went there. It's about a 45-minute drive from our hotel. It's a huge place, so we kind of had to pick the highlights. So we picked one of them is called La Mina Falls, which is about just over a half-mile hike from the parking area and the trailhead down to the actual falls themselves. Really beautiful hike, nice paved pathway for you, kind of steep in some spots and a lot of kind of twisty-turny, but you have to expect that walking in a rainforest. But then you get down to the falls, and it's probably, I don't know, 50 or 6-foot falls with a nice pool at the bottom where swimming is allowed, so there's lots of people in the water down there. And the water was refreshing after a half-mile hike in the heat, but it was definitely quite an experience to be able to swim underneath a tropical waterfall.
Yeah, it does sound pretty cool.
Yeah.
And how did the what did the kids think of the rainforest?
They thought it was pretty cool. They thought it was neat. Lots of, you can hear, we didn't really see the wildlife. We definitely hear the birds singing and you know, rustling in the trees and stuff. And definitely not like anything we have here on the mainland, at least that I've experienced so far.
Okay, okay. So you enjoyed the falls, you enjoyed the hike, and I assume at some point here, since you were only there, you know, on Puerto Rico for a day and a half, at some point here, we're going to get your surprise reveal.
Yes. We actually waited until the morning. The morning we actually went to or got in a taxi to go to the cruise to tell them. Like I said, after the rainforest, we found the beach, which there's a small opening out in the rock wall that lets the water in, and it kind of fans out into the beach from there. So it was definitely an experience down there, and they were able to climb out on the rocks on the ocean. And then we got back, and we're still kind of trying to decide how to tell the kids what we're doing. And luckily, we started having some issues on the way back from the beach. The check engine light came on in our rental car, and it kind of spittered and sputtered a little bit.
Oops.
Nothing bad. I mean, it was still completely drivable, and there was nothing wrong with it. Just it was running a little bit rough. But we cruised around Old San Juan for a little while, which is definitely an experience and not one that I'd like to repeat. With the city being over 500 years old, it was not designed to handle vehicular traffic. So the roads are tight and narrow and cobblestones, and parking is impossible down there. But we were able to drive around a little bit and see some of the forts and some of the other historical sites. But then, I mean, just the traffic itself around San Juan is crazy, especially anytime from rush hour. So we're in bumper traffic the whole time, and everyone's kind of on edge. And so I kind of use that as a key to lead into our, you know, surprise reveal. And we kind of get back to the hotel, and I'm kind of frustrated, and I tell the kids, you know what, this island is really starting to get to me. I think we need to leave. And of course they're kind of disappointed. So then my wife is like, well, hold on. What if we find a different resort? Like maybe one with an ocean view. So I'm like, well, that's a good idea. Let me see what I can do. So I jumped on the computer, pretend to look for a different hotel while I'm just cruising Facebook and whatnot. So I said, okay, I found another one. It's got a balcony. It's got an ocean view. You know, what do you think of that, kids? And they're all excited. Yeah, that sounds great. So the next morning we're loading all the stuff into the taxi. And I tell the guy, hey, we need to go to Pier 4, but don't tell the kids where we're going. So we're driving through San Juan, and, you know, we're kind of distracting the kids, hey, because you can see the ship off in the distance. We're like, hey, look over there, you know, look off to, you know, the opposite side, kind of pointing out some different things in San Juan. And eventually we start turning down, and the kids notice, like, oh, look, a cruise ship. And they're all like, oh, it looks like a Disney ship. Boy, I wish we were going on that. And
and you're stifling this whole time.
Yes, and recording, of course. So they're like, oh, it's the magic. And I'm like, Evan, is that the one you've always wanted to go on? Yeah. Hey, maybe we could sneak our way on. Like, and I'm like, do you think you guys have been on the cruise ships before? You've seen security. Do you think we can sneak on? Oh, yeah, I guess we can. So they're up to, and the pier where we load is pretty much out. There's nothing around it. I mean, it's not like there's hotels and things like Port Canaveral is. It's really kind of out in the middle of nowhere, especially the pier that Disney was using. And, you know, as we're getting there, and they're like, oh, I really wish we could go on that ship. I'm like, guys, you see a hotel around here? No. Well, where do you think we're going? Are we getting on the ship? And they got all excited. Of course, Ryder, my two-year-old, was sleeping through the whole thing, but I'm sure he was excited too.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was the big reveal where they, I mean, we actually waited to the very last minute to let them know. So
we're
going to count that as a win in our book.
Yes, yes. Very nicely done.
Yes.
I would call that a successful surprise reveal.
All right.
So you get to the pier, you know, go out and get on your boat. How do you handle? So you return the rental car. You're in a taxi.
Yes.
To the pier. You board the ship. What were your first impressions of the Magic, having been on the Dream before and you know, boarding the Magic? It's a little bit different ship. It's a smaller ship.
It's tiny. I mean, you come into the atrium, and compared to the one on the Dream, it's like you're walking into a closet. I mean, it's still, you know, very nicely done. It was all set up for Halloween because they're doing the Halloween on the High Seas events. So they had like a pumpkin tree and stuff, which is all part of some ongoing events they had throughout the cruise. And obviously, it's beautifully decorated. It was just so much smaller. I mean, I just remember on the Dream, they'd have, like, if it was bad weather, they'd have, like, some parties and stuff inside in the atrium. And I'm thinking, you can fit maybe, you know, 200 or 300 people in this little, you know, this atrium here. So it was striking how much smaller it was. It definitely was a Disney ship. All the touches, all the decorations, all of the amenities definitely screamed Disney, which was, you know, definitely not a bad thing. But it just seems smaller. I mean, once you kind of got into the guest room areas, it didn't seem, I mean, it's hard to tell, you know, one floor to another, because I think the Dream has a few more floors. But aside from that, the hallways look similar. The rooms are similar size and similarly appointed. Really the only difference I noticed was, you know, besides like the pool areas, was the atrium was so much smaller.
Okay. And anything else that in particular, you know, you talked about being excited about the refurbishment that had been done on the Magic.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that was kind of part of that, you know, first impression when you boarded that stood out to you in particular?
I'd say the thing, one of the first things we did was grab some lunch, which Cabana's very similar to one on the Dream too. And, you know, a great spread, great selection of food. And then the kids' clubs were having an open house. So we went and checked out the Oceaneers Club and Oceaneers Lab. With Ryder only being two, he was not allowed to, like, be checked into them. But during these open house times, he could go in and, you know, explore everything and check it out. They had an Andy's room, which was, we had to drag him out of there every time we had to leave. Andy's bed was, like, elevated, so he had to climb a spiral staircase to get up, and then they had a Slinky Dog slide to come down, and he just would do that loop constantly until, you know, the giant ham in the corner caught his eye, and he'd go give him a hug and play with him for a while, then play with the potato head, and then go back and forth and everywhere. So he was happy as could be in there, so he was really upset every time we had to leave. But we did check out, like, the Avengers Academy, where they had you know, replica of Thor's hammer and Captain America's shield and an Iron Man suit. And they also had like a Mickey Mouse room set up with like some arts and crafts and computer terminals. Obviously the big dance floor and everything else was similar to what the other ships had. But so the kids club, they definitely did a great job on, obviously I don't know what it was before, but you know, when we saw it, it was top notch stuff in there.
Okay. So impressed by that, impressed by lunch.
Yep. The next thing we did was change the swimsuits and checked out the Aqua Dunk.
Okay.
Obviously, they didn't have enough room to put a full Aqua Duck like the Dream and the Fantasy have. So the Aqua Dunk is a single person. It's never been described as stepping into a water coffin, but that's really what it feels like. Because
I've actually heard something similar before.
Okay.
I heard somebody describe it as being tucked into a medicine capsule.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, obviously Disney's marketing is not going to use terms like that, but basically you step into this thing and it's not straight and vertical. You're leaning back at maybe, I don't know, 10 or 15 degrees. The water's pouring down from the top of you along your back. Then stay, cross your legs, cross your arms, and get ready to scream. So you hear Huey, Dewey, and Louie talking to you, counting down 3, 2, 1, go. Next thing you know, the floor drops out from under you, and you're rushing down off the side of the ship. You make the full turn and come back and end up in the little, you know, slide away area there. And I mean, the whole ride is maybe 4 or 5 seconds, but I mean, it's an exhilarating 4 or 5 seconds. Luckily, if we hit it at the right time a few times and there was hardly any weight. I mean, I know when you first start going up the steps, there's a sign that said estimated wait time from this time is 40 minutes if the line is all the way out that way. So luckily we never had to wait that long, but okay. We did go on it a few times and really enjoyed ourselves.
So you enjoyed it. Talk about the kids. What did the kids think of it? Because I always wonder, you know, the Aqua Duck has some of the thrill to mm-hmm. it, but it's not the sort of intense thrill that it seemed to me the Aqua Dunk was more of a thrill attraction.
Yeah, it's definitely more of a thrill than the Aqua Duck. My 10-year-old Madison, she loved it. 8-year-old Evan enjoyed it. Not quite as much. He's more of a swim in the pool type of kid. I mean, he likes the slides, but he did it a few times and he was good. Madison went back a few times. Bambi went on it, came back and looked at me and said, "Why did you send me on that thing? That's insane." But of course, she went back later. And then as a running theme to this, this vacation rider was just too young to do it.
He
was really limited to just a small splash area with a couple of little Huey, Dewey, and Louie ducks to kind of spit some water. The rules are they don't allow swim diapers in any of the other pools. So okay. Unless your kid is fully toilet trained, he or she is only allowed in this one little area. So with Ryder being not, you know, fully toilet trained, he wasn't allowed in some of those other areas. So he was pretty upset by that. So we did, I mean, he's not completely toilet trained, but we did, you know, let him go, you know, sans water diaper for a little while in the pool. And
right.
I'm thinking later in the cruise, someone else may have done that same thing with a different child, because we went up there and the small pool was closed and being scrubbed down by someone in a hazmat suit. So, yeah, I mean, you have to know your children, folks, and if they can handle 20 minutes, half hour, you know, go ahead, but don't push it and, you know, ruin everyone else's day.
Yeah, and, you know, I think, unfortunately, that's one of those things that the cruise lines, there's not a whole lot they can do about that, you know? It's a lot more difficult to, you know, clear, clean, and refill a swimming pool on a moving ship than it is in a resort.
Yeah, you're filling it with fresh water, which you have to pull from your tank somewhere, and then your desalination, you just have to work overtime to, you know, provide drinking water for everybody.
Yeah.
So, but aside from that, I mean, it was a good time.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, onboard activities, things that you managed to do that you enjoyed, either things that you did, you know, did you do any couple stuff, or was this all kind of everybody, you know, family involved activities?
We didn't do any couple stuff. They do have the nursery on there, but we didn't sign Ryder up for it.
He was kind of at an awkward stage,
yeah,
too, because he was a little bit old for the nursery and just barely too young for the kids' clubs.
Exactly, yeah. So we kept him with – we dropped the older two off at the kids' clubs because they begged for it constantly. But then we kind of worked it around, like nap time and stuff, where Ryder would need to take a nap. So he would hang out with us the rest of the time, and we didn't really have a lot lined up as far as activities, just a lot of, you know, sitting around relaxation type of stuff, which really is what cruises are good for. I mean, I know there's plenty of other stuff to do, but we weren't really in the mood to do it. We just kind of wanted to relax after the hectic time in Puerto Rico, and then the time we had coming up at Disney World. We know we'd be pushing pretty hard, so we relaxed a bit.
Okay. And maybe let's talk a little bit about the dining on board the Magic, and maybe compare it a little bit to, you know, what you experienced on the, you know, similar 3-day Dream Cruise.
Sure. Our first night was the new restaurant on the Magic was Cariocas, like Brazilian themed. Honestly, it didn't really stand out to me. I have to kind of like go through the pictures to really see what it was. And it was decorated nice. I had like some like paper lanterns type stuff. I didn't take notes on what we ate the whole time. I know we didn't have a bad meal at any of the restaurants. But like I said, that first one just didn't really stand out to me at all. It was kind of it was good, but like I said, nothing standing out. The second night we ate at, I need to look up my notes here. It was Pirate Night and also Halloween. So we were dressed up in our Halloween costumes and ate at, I can't even find the name of the place. it wasn't Animator's Palette, it was the other one.
Is it Lumiere's?
Lumiere's, yes. Okay. Yes. Nice fancy restaurant, some type of place we would obviously never go to, you know, if we were paying out of pocket for it. But since, you know, it's the cruise and it's Disney and everything is included, of course we went. Our dine-in companions from the first night did not show up, second or third. Okay. There being a repositioning cruise from Puerto Rico, there were a lot of Puerto Ricans on board.
Oh, okay.
And they were Puerto Rican. The dad spoke some English. The mom and the son, hardly any. So obviously there wasn't a lot of conversation being had that first night. So I guess they chose other dining options for... But hey, that's their problem, not
sure.
Mine.
They missed out on the joy. I have experienced the fun of dining with Madison and Evan and Ryder.
That's right.
So
and Ryder's become much more independent since we've dined together. So he just about every night he would finish his meal and then head straight under the table for a while and then around the table and just he's two. What do you expect?
Yeah.
But that was a good meal that night. Our favorite meal by far was Animator's Palette. I guess I can't say meal. Favorite restaurant. I mean, the meals were all good. Everything was well prepared and fresh. I know I've heard some complaints about the food and the Magic, and I'm not really a foodie, but everything tasted perfectly fine to me. But the show at Animator's Palette was just amazing. I mean, you walk in and the whole place is black and white, and they've got like large LCD monitors on all the walls with like hand sketches of different characters. And then kind of as the night progresses, the drawings change and they kind of show you like the process of drawing the characters. And, you know, they kind of draw this part first and fill in the details here. They slowly became more and more intricate and more detailed. And then, like, they'd add a second character. Like, they'd have Hercules and Pegasus. And then they'd slowly start to add movement into it. So it's nothing you really realize unless you're really paying attention all night. And then eventually there'll be, like, a little splash of color on one, and then a little more splash of color on some other ones. And then slowly it gets more and more color until they're full color drawings. And then the full color drawings start to have some action to them. And then the next thing you know, they actually put on, like, all the lights kind of go off, and there's shows on all of the different LCD monitors, and they all tie into each other, and they're all showing different clips of different Disney movies, and they're playing, it reminded me a lot of the soundtrack from Fantasmic, which okay. Actually may have been.
Yeah.
And they're playing that, and, you know, there's excitement building, and there's more action, and more... You know, the love stories and the action and the heroes. And next thing you know, there's Mickey Mouse in the middle of the restaurant in his Sorcerer Mickey outfit, you know, dancing around and meeting, greeting people.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it was really a great show. Really, really made dinner special that night.
Well, you know, while we're on the subject of shows, did you take in any of the evening shows?
Yes, we did. We caught all of them.
Okay.
Let's see.
So which was your favorite?
You know, Villains Tonight we've seen before on The Dream. That's always a very good show. The kids love that one. They really like Pain and Panic, which, since you've known my kids, you know exactly why they enjoy Pain and Panic. The other one was Disney Dreams. That one was our last night. That one, I think, was our favorite. That was a new one we hadn't seen before. That was exclusive to the ship.
Okay.
Really played in well with all the a lot of different classic animation and classic characters would kind of come and visit. It's all kind of focuses around this one girl in her bedroom, and Peter Pan comes to visit her, and she's trying to, you know, believe in her dreams and get her dreams to come true and that type of thing. And different Disney characters come in and give her different, almost like different advice, kind of life lessons sort of things. So that one, I think, was our favorite of the cruise. I can't remember the first night's. I go through all my pictures to kind of jog my memory, but they don't allow photography.
Right,
there's
no photography during the shows.
Yeah, so I'm sure it was fantastic. I know it was fantastic. I say we like the other ones a little better.
But the other ones stood out more in your mind. So that's okay. So that's good. Yeah. Did you check out any movies while you were on board?
No. I had plans to, but they were playing Guardians of the Galaxy, which, you know, being a very bad Disney fan, I've not gone to see yet. Unfortunately, it wasn't playing till like 11 o'clock at night on our first night, and I was just wiped out. And I knew I'd be sleeping in the theater if I'd gone to it.
Yeah, actually, that happened to me on our cruise, but it wasn't because it was playing at 11 o'clock at night. It was because it was John Carter.
Oh, yeah, okay. I haven't seen it. I'm sure it's a fine movie.
No, it put me to sleep.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't kidding.
Yeah. Okay. And then the second night, it was playing a bit early. I'm like, oh, that'd be perfect. But I look a little closer, and it was going to be playing in Spanish. I'm like, eh, maybe not.
Yeah, that would have been rough.
Yeah. So now we, of all the cruises we've been on, we've never actually stopped in the movie theater. I mean, okay. It seems odd that you're paying this much money for a cruise, but you're going to save $30 by not going to see a movie or a free movie.
Right. So. Okay.
We went to the Pirates in the Caribbean deck party and the fireworks at sea, which were a good hit for all of our family too. So
good. We talked about a lot of specific things around the ship and about the cruise. You know, give me some overall impressions. What was your feeling about both the offerings of this cruise and its value as a repositioning cruise, given, you know, what the cost was, and you know, kind of how all that, you know, plays together for you?
Sure. Actually, we thought it was a very good value, especially combining with the onboard credit and the onboard booking discount we got. It was actually a very good deal. Airfare to San Juan was obviously had to be a factor, and comparing to airfare to say Orlando is much more expensive, but we were able to watch the deals and eventually, you know, settle on actually the lowest price that we'd ever seen. So it wasn't too bad. Obviously then we were able to fly back. We flew back out of Tampa, for like a typical airfare is out of that. So really I think the transportation to it was kind of, I would add it to the cost, but with the cost of the cruise, it was still a pretty good value. Another thing that we enjoyed about this was the itinerary. The only stop it was Castaway Key. We didn't have to stop at Nassau. We didn't stop at anywhere else. It was just one day at sea, a day at Castaway Key, and then pulling into Florida. So it really gave us the opportunity to enjoy the ship. So I know you never really get the same feel of if you're docked at Nassau and staying on the ship. You don't really get that same feel because you look out and there's, you know, the harbor and there's a Carnival cruise, you know, 30 feet away from you.
Right.
Where with this one, and the captain even kind of came on the intercom on the first evening, you know, talking to us about the cruise, welcome us on board, that type of stuff. And he did say that we'd be cruising at pretty much top speed, which it was about 20, 21 knots. He said they had a lot of miles to cover to get to Castaway Key. Typically on a cruise, they'll dock at Castaway Key about 8:30. He said they'd be pulling in somewhere around 9:15.
Oh, wow. So they were pushing it just to make it there by 9:15.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And then he was telling us, I mean, it was really nice. He kind of gave us the whole route of where we're going, what island we're going to pass, and you know, which way we're going to turn left or when we're going to turn west, and all the different trenches and shipping lanes and stuff we'd be going through. So you could definitely tell the ship was cruising. I mean, you'd look out. We had the balcony. We'd sit out on the veranda, And even though there's no other ships or islands around, you can just definitely feel that this thing is redlining it. I mean, this thing was really cutting through the water quick. So luckily we didn't have a lot of rough seas. We were dealing with a little bit of the after effects of Hurricane Gonzalo, which hit Puerto Rico about 2 days before we landed. No real damage or much to speak of. It did skirt north of the island and hit some more islands a little more directly. But there were a few, Captain to say, there's some storms in the area that we were able to avoid. But we would have to deal with the effects of that a little bit.
Okay, well, so overall, did the weather, you know, have any substantial effect on
the beach? No, it was fantastic. It was sunny in, you know, 80s the whole time. So we just lathered up with the sunscreen and, you know, we didn't have any burning issues, and the few clouds that were there kind of gave us a nice little respite from the sunshine every once in a while, but still plenty of sunshine to enjoy.
Okay. All right. Well, let's then talk about just a bit of, you know, basically the two stops, right? You had one stop at Castaway Key. Mm-hmm. So what were some of the things that were highlights for you of this stop at Castaway Key?
First thing we did is we rented some bikes and took the bike trail out. We'd done this on our first cruise and had a pretty good time at it. I think there were some issues with the bikes we had rented, like Madison's was too small, and so she didn't have a lot of fun on it, but she wanted to do it again, and she wanted to get a better bike.
Right,
and
right.
It looks like they did, since the last time we rented, they do have a new fleet of bikes, which are all pretty nice and fairly brand new and well, you know, taken care of.
Oh, good. That's good to know.
Yeah. So we did that pretty much as soon as we got off the ship. We're still kind of running into the Castaway Key 5K race. Kind of takes the same route as the bike trail. So we had a couple of runners to avoid, but there's an observation tower we rode out to. You can, you know, see the whole island and see the ship docked off in the distance, and then take the trail past the adult beach to another like secluded area of the beach where it's all pristine and you know, real beautiful turquoise waters, and you know, there's really nothing out there except, you know, some grass and some trees and a lot of sand and water. So it's really peaceful and serene out there.
Cool.
So we enjoyed that, and then basically went back, found a spot on the beach, you know, plopped our butts in the sand and played in the water.
Okay. Sounds like a nice, relaxing way to handle Castaway Key.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. And then just like with the bigger water slides and the kids' clubs, Ryder wanted to do the Pelican Plunge water slide so bad, but was just too young to do it. So he had to watch his brother and, you know, go on the slides a couple of times while he, you know, was stuck sitting on the tube in the water. But still being stuck on a tube in the water is a lot better than being, you know, stuck in Wisconsin in October.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
All right. And then, you know, the only other stop on this cruise is your stop at Port Canaveral.
Mm-hmm.
So you stopped at Port Canaveral, and how did you handle that transfer after you disembarked there at Port mm-hmm. Canaveral?
Bambi's dad, or actually her parents, lived down in Florida, halfway between Orlando and Tampa. So he met us at the port and piled our stuff into the van and headed over to Bay Lake Towers.
Nice. So it's the good assist from the relative there makes that transition easy and certainly much cheaper than the, you know.
Yeah, then taking a mere shuttle or a taxi or anything else. Yep.
Exactly.
Not enough to tip the driver. I do have to give him a Christmas present, but I have to do that every year.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're already stuck with that, so.
Yeah.
And let's just talk briefly about the Disney World part of your vacation. How
sure.
long did you stay at Disney World?
4 days.
Okay. So 4 days out of Bay Lake Tower. Mm-hmm. How did you break up your time?
The first day was Animal Kingdom. We said scheduled a few things kind of midday because we weren't sure exactly how long it would take us to get over there and kind of get settled and back over to the park. So we did the kids do like Dino Land a lot with the Primeval Hurl and Ryder likes to try Triceratops Spin.
I can commiserate with you there.
Yeah.
The kids love Primeval Hurl.
Yeah. I don't mind it, but we sent Grandma on with them anyway, and we just did the Triceratops Spin with Ryder.
Oh, okay.
And then we did Expedition Everest, grabbed lunch at Flame Chip Barbecue, caught the Lion King show, and headed back.
All right. So because just sort that, of a whirlwind hit of Animal Kingdom then?
Pretty much, yeah. Hit the highlights because, which we've done in the past, we'll do like Animal Kingdom in the morning and then the hard ticket parties in that afternoon and evening.
Oh, okay.
So we that night was the Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween party. And then, you know, we had the costumes all made up, but it was just too darn hot to wear them. We had the whole family. We had the Avengers costumes. I was Captain America. Ryder was Thor. Evan was the Hulk. Madison had an Iron Girl costume, you know, Iron Man in a skirt, right. And then Bambi with the Black Widow. But Ryder and Evan and Bambi all had very warm costumes. You know, obviously with the fake muscles and the, you know, the black leather and all that stuff. So the costumes didn't stay on very long during the party because it was still, you know, mid-80s even after the sun went down. So
right. Well, that's what happens when you buy costumes for Wisconsin Halloween.
That's true. That is true. So it's kind of hard to pick for two climates.
yes.
But the candy was still there and... you know, the parade was fantastic as always, and the fireworks. So, a little tip though with the parade, after the fireworks and the castle projection show, we kind of obviously a lot of people cleared out. We walked over to the hub to get spots for the second parade, and we had staked out these spots for, you know, 15-20 minutes. And we were on the hub, kind of on the Tomorrowland side,
right.
And you know, obviously the whole area is, especially, you know, front row is, you know, staked away, you know, 20 minutes, half hour, 45 minutes, you know, at least before the parade with everyone lining up. Well, probably about 10 or 15 minutes before the parade is supposed to start, cast members kind of came and cleared that entire area out and set it up for handicap viewing, which obviously I don't have a problem with, but... You know, you can't let people...
nice with a little more advanced notice than that.
Yeah, exactly, because, you know, by this time, all of Main Street is packed. I mean... It's 3, 4, 5 people deep everywhere. A good tip that I found was to go all the way up into Town Square, especially over by the very end of the parade by the firehouse.
Okay.
I walked over there, and there's a couple of cast members standing around. I'm like, does the parade come right through here? She's like, yeah. She's like, if you stand in this area right here, you'll be in the front row. I'm like, well, where is everybody? She's like, no one comes here. Everyone wants to stay on Main Street. I'm like, well, okay then. So yeah. You know, we've got some front row seats right at the end of the parade. And
see, and that's a nice spot, too, because the parade, you know, almost comes right at you and then
it does,
turns.
Yeah.
So yep. you get two perspectives on all the floats.
Mm-hmm.
Very
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, it was really nice. And then right when the parade was about to start, it did kind of fill in a little bit. But like I said, 15, 20 minutes, and there's still plenty of availability there.
Interesting.
So it worked out really well.
All right. Okay, so a good experience with the parade after an initially frustrating one.
Yeah.
What were the other maybe, you know, couple of big highlights of Mickey's Not So Scary for you?
I think one of the highlights was learning not to do it on the day they kick you off a boat at 8 o'clock in the morning. Because we were pretty wiped out. And obviously, three kids who are a little wiped out aren't going to make for a happy... hard ticket event. So we made the most of it. We didn't push it around. We got to a couple of the candy stops. We did a couple of the special photos with like the hitchhiking ghosts and the ghost on the carriage outside of Haunted Mansion.
Okay.
As far as like the special character meets and stuff, we didn't do any of that. We didn't get around a lot of the candy stops. It seemed like it was a very crowded night. Because it was one of the discount nights for DVC.
Okay.
Which obviously is nice not to pay full price, but then again, there's a lot of other people there who didn't pay full price either.
Right, right.
So I think overall we learned you want to be fresh for those days. You don't want to be, you know, gathering up all your stuff and going through customs and driving to Disney World on the day you're going to a party at night.
Yeah, that actually is pretty much what caused us to make the decision not to do the Halloween party at Disneyland because the only day it fit in our schedule was our arrival day,
mm-hmm.
and we had an early flight, so we left the house at 4 a.m., which is 2 a.m. California time.
Oh, yeah, that's...
So there was no way we were going to try and do a Halloween party that night.
Yeah, good call. Yeah.
Okay, so Animal Kingdom, Magic Kingdom for the party. Mm-hmm. You still had a couple more days, two or three more days in parks.
Mm-hmm. Yes. One of the nice things about staying at Bay Lake Towers with annual passes is pretty much every day started at Magic Kingdom. We go over there for a little while, and especially if we'd have like the Fast Pass Plus set up for a different park, you still go to Magic Kingdom for a couple minutes or hour or so, you know, getting a couple of things and then transfer over. Because it's a 5-minute walk, and right. It's for all the stuff people complain about, the decorations and the Bay Lake Towers is so like modern and on. I mean, really, it was perfectly nice. I mean, it wouldn't be how I decorate my house, but if I'm staying there for a week, it's perfectly fine. And then you can't beat that walk over there. So we'd be over there for Rope Drop just about every day. One of the things we've made as a sort of a tradition now is haircuts at the Harmony Barbershop. You can't charge the tip to your room. You can charge the haircut itself, but if you want to tip your barber, you have to do that in cash.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I didn't either. Well, of course, we learned our lesson last time, but again, on this trip, I still forgot to bring cash with me. Like I said, though, it's a 5-minute walk. So while everyone else is getting in line, I'm like, I'll be right back. So I, you know, quick hopped on the monorail, dropped off at the first stop, and, you know, went to the room, grabbed the cash I had sitting there, you know, specifically earmarked for haircut tips, and was back before the boys were even done with their haircuts.
Wow, that's a nice little, you know. I mean, I've been there and noticed how close it is. I guess it just never really hit, you know, how convenient that can be, how mm-hmm. you can dash back and forth like that.
Yeah, yeah. So that was definitely an added bonus of staying there. We did do the new Seven Dwarfs Mine ride, which Disney did a fantastic job with. It's fast enough to be thrilling, yet you know, the dark ride elements of it are really top notch and amazing too, with the projections and the animatronics they have in there. It really is kind of a perfect blend of the two different types of elements.
Okay, great. So those are some of the Magic Kingdom highlights and some of the things, you know, a nice strategy there, being able to start out each day at Magic Kingdom. What were some things that stood out in some of the other parks?
The plan for the next day was to do the Jedi Training Academy. We actually had some friends from up here. They were coming down. They have a son my son's age, and a daughter my daughter's age. So we do a lot together, and the kids are good friends. The problem was the night before we went to Ohana's, and my son got all caught up with his uncle, my wife's brother, egging him on. I bet you can't eat 2 more pot stickers. I bet you can't eat 3 more pot stickers. I think, and you know, despite us telling him, Evan, don't eat any more, he probably put away 15 of them.
Oh my God.
And 5 o'clock the next morning, he's in the bathroom, and all 15 of them are coming back up.
I'm sure.
Yeah, so he wasn't feeling real well that next day, so he had to skip the Jedi training, which we kind of let be a life lesson to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. So that was a fun day, though. It was, you know, my daughter still did Jedi training with his 2 friends, and they'd never done it before, and they had a blast doing it. We did go to the Disney Junior Live on stage because, like I said, Ryder, there's a lot of things Ryder can't quite do, but he definitely enjoyed that with the Mickey Mouse puppets and things. And
right.
I do need to back up a little. He is tall enough now to do Barnstormer, so he got to ride that by himself twice.
Oh,
so it's not all lost on the little guy. He is growing up just tall enough for that. So he did get to experience some of the fun stuff on vacation.
Good, good.
Yeah.
Glad he didn't miss out everything.
That's right. He's also tall enough to ride along on the Tomorrowland Speedway. The very last day we had our flight was at like 3 o'clock. So we had a few hours in the morning at Magic Kingdom. So one of the things we did is we went over there and rode the Tomorrowland Speedway for him. So not quite sure why we're in this car banging along on the rail, but he seemed to enjoy it anyway. So
I was just going to say, you're a brave man to, you know, let a 2-year-old drive on Tomorrowland Speedway on your departure day when you're going to be sitting on an airplane.
Yeah. No, he didn't really want to dick the wheel. He was fine just sitting there and going along for the ride. So I'm sure by the time we go back, he'll be wanting to drive. But no, this time he was perfectly content just to sit and watch.
Okay. So, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, any other? You mentioned Ohana, and Evan slightly overindulging.
Yes.
Any other dining experiences that stand out in either direction at for the Disney World part of the trip?
I think the only other sit-down meal we had was a Chef Mickey breakfast, which was fine. I mean, all the characters came around and the kids had fun, and Ryder's definitely at the age now where he recognizes them and tries to yell out their name but never really gets it right, okay. But still gets excited because there's characters. So.
Right.
So he was fine with that. You know, the food is okay. It's hard to justify, even with the Tables in Wonderland card. The five of us, it was just about $100, which is hard to justify for breakfast.
Sure.
So clearly it's not something we do on every trip. But staying at Bay Lake, it was nice to be able to just walk across the little sky bridge and there's breakfast.
That's true.
Rather than having to, you know, especially if you're at some of the other resorts where you have to worry about transportation to a resort for breakfast, which gets kind of hard if you're, you know, doing the early morning one. So it was nice to be able to walk over there and get that and then just hop on the monorail over to Epcot. And then speaking of Epcot, it was also the International Food Festival. We don't drink wine, so we just leave that part off.
Okay.
So we did kind of snack away around the world for dinner that night. Some interesting things. It's sneaky because it's dark and the kids don't always know what we're giving them, so they eat it anyway.
Okay, so what were some of the treats you managed to sneak by them?
A couple things from Mexico. There was some like a shrimp taco, I think, that Evan had. There was some. I mean, they're at the age now where they can read the signs, though. I mean, we did this a few years ago.
You can't totally fake them out now.
Yeah, but. Yeah, now that they can read the signs, that they can kind of pick and choose what they want. But it was still some very interesting stuff. I like the empanada from Argentina, I think it was, and the bratwurst on the pretzel roll is always a big hit from Germany.
Sure, and the kids' noses work, so you can't fit the kimchi past them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And then we got the little swipe card, gift card thing that goes on the wrist. And on the bottom of every receipt, it shows you what your balance is left. And I happened to get the pretzel from Germany. I look and saw there was $3.50 left on my card. I'm like, geez, what can I have? And I look over at the brewery collection, and the grapefruit beer was $3.50. I'm like, well, I guess it's going to have to be.
It was meant to be.
I guess so. The Disney gods have smiled on me.
All right, so you mentioned a few things. Any food items that you didn't mention yet that stood out from Food and Wine Festival?
Not really. I know we all kind of sampled little things and tried different things, but we made the mistake of doing that on a Friday night when a lot of the locals were out. So
yeah,
it was just packed. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, it was kind of the only day that fit into our schedule with some other stuff we had going on, trying to meet up with the friends and stuff. And
oh, right.
So we were kind of pigeonholed into doing that on a Friday night. So you know, we had to make do with what we had. So.
All right. Well, I guess the question I have now is, would you recommend to others this kind of a trip where you do the, reposition and then close it with Disney World, or if you had it to do over, would you have approached it differently?
Being a repositioning trip, we were kind of, obviously, we couldn't really do Disney beforehand and then go to San Juan and come back. That really didn't make a lot of sense. Typical cruises that they depart and arrive back at Port Canaveral, I would definitely say to do Disney World first, because you really get spoiled with the level of attention on the ship and the level of, everything is included. You carry your cup over to the soda fountain and you fill it up whenever you're thirsty. Whereas at Disney World, it's going to cost you, $2.99 to do that all the time. So I would, if you're doing a regular cruise, I would recommend Disney World first. But like I said, with this one being the repositioning, you're kind of stuck with how your schedule falls out. So, if the opportunity opportunity presented itself again, we would probably do it. But I don't know if I'd really go out of my way to find another repositioning that to stop back in Florida and then to tag on a Disney World vacation afterwards.
Yeah. So you would, at this point, having done it, you would rather do the Disney World piece first.
Well, if I had my option, I'd do it before and after, but
okay.
But just don't always allow for that.
Right. All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing. This is a unique kind of a trip, and there are only a few of these really offered a year.
Mm-hmm.
They only do Puerto Rico to Port Canaveral once, and there are a few other repositions that do happen. So it's an interesting approach. Thanks for coming on the show and sharing it.
Well, thanks for having me.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dreamfinder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment, and there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.